Welcome to the Mr. Vincent Podcast, episode 134. I'm your host, Emmanuel Vincent, and it's been quite some time, but I'm finally back with a new episode, and I am happy to let you guys know that I finally have visuals to go along with the audio for this podcast, as this episode is also available on YouTube, and so will all my other episodes going forward. It's about damn time, because I wasn't really keeping up with the podcast world, as visuals are essentially just as important as audio, if not more. So I'm happy that I actually caught up with everybody else in this space. This episode essentially focuses on what's transpired recently in the wrestling world, as the great one, the people's champ, The Rock, made his epic return to SmackDown, which saw him stare down his cousin, Roman Reigns, as the show closed out, which leads everybody to believe that Rock vs. Roman is taking place at WrestleMania 40. But it appears that that's at the expense of one Cody Rhodes, the 2024 Royal Rumble winner, back-to-back Royal Rumble winner, I might add. A lot of people have voiced their frustration with that, as Cody's just red hot right now, and they were invested in him finishing his story, and that looks like that's going to be delayed yet again. So I touch on that on this pod, as well as Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks. It appears that she's heading to AEW and hasn't been confirmed yet, but by all reports, it's looking like she is going to be All Elite. So what does that do for AEW in terms of ratings? Does she move the needle? And just how much will she elevate the women's division? And on a more serious note, I also do touch on the recent allegations against one Vince McMahon. Me and the homie Burley actually talked about this, along with the other topics that I brought up before this episode. I do apologize in advance. For some reason, my microphone wasn't working on the Zoom call, and the audio is not really crisp on my end. I do apologize, but I will get that issue addressed for the next episode. But in the meantime, you can check this episode out right now. Here it is.
So there's a lot of backlash going on from the fallout from SmackDown, where The Rock made a surprise return and Cody stepped aside. Looks like he would not be finishing his story at this year's WrestleMania. And it's so funny seeing all the backlash. Have you seen it this morning? As of this morning, that YouTube video has nearly 500,000 dislikes. And it's like the most disliked video in WWE history. So I want to know, what's your thoughts on their decision to elect to put Rock versus Roman as the main event at WrestleMania and delay stories, delay Cody's story for the foreseeable future?
I mean, WWE is a global company, and they are going to make the most marquee matchup that's going to capture a global audience. And The Rock is one of the most recognizable figures in the world. And, you know, to have the Bloodline storyline, which has been going on for, 3.5 years? You know, throughout the whole storyline, the question was, when is The Rock going to come back? When is he going to try to make claim as like the actual tribal chief that Roman has like been passing himself off as the last couple of years? So from a marketing standpoint, I think it totally makes sense to do Rock versus Roman, especially in a such an important Mania like Mania 40, you know. But it does seem like it's definitely happening at Cody's expense, especially since he won the Rumble. And right after he won the Rumble, he immediately was pointing at Roman, you know, in the luxury box. So yeah, it's very deflating for Cody. And Cody going for the World Heavyweight Championship is not the same as him like truly finishing the story. So it just kind of seems like WWE has put themselves in a difficult position, you know, even though Rock is more well known, he's more of a marquee name. It's like, for someone who's been following the product for the past year, then yeah, Cody should be the guy to face Roman.
Yeah, absolutely. Rock is, you know, one of the biggest stars, I would say, in Hollywood in the last, 25 years, I would say. And, you know, he's one of the biggest names in wrestling history. You probably put him on, just off popularity standpoint, I would say, he's probably on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling with the likes of Hogan and Flair and Stone Cold. So, yeah, I understand that WWE is a global entity. Like you said, they're all about business. And what better way to have Splash to get so many eyeballs on your product? Attracting new fans, attracting old fans from the previous generation, right? To come back to watch this epic encounter with Roman and The Rock. But it just sucks, man, because Cody's like, right, I think Cody's one of the hardest baby faces they had in a long time. I can't remember a baby face being this hot in the WWE. I don't want to say Stone Cold or The Rock, if he's like up there with them in popularity, but it kind of feels like it sometimes, man. When he comes on, his music hits, the crowd just be into it. I know he's doing great in terms of merchandise sales and everything, so I was really looking forward to him finishing the story this year. So I'm just like, damn, man. Like, we're going to have to wait another year. It just seemed like it lined up so perfectly. But I did see reports that CM Punk's injury kind of flipped, changed WWE's mentality on how to go about for Mania. And that they always had this plan in place for Rock and Roman to face off. It probably was going to happen at a later date. Maybe it could happen at the Elimination Chamber, but they felt like they wanted to do it to take advantage of the stage at WrestleMania. And also, being how The Rock is on the board of the TKO, right. He pushed for it. He feels like this will help, you know, put them in a positive image, considering everything that's been going on with Vince. We can talk about that later and all the scandals that are going around surrounding him. So this is really a move to set a positive light on WWE and TKO executives back The Rock up on this. But yeah, as a wrestling fan, I just want to see Cody, you know, finish the story. Because let's be real. Wrestling fans like you and me, we're not casual wrestling fans, and we know that The Rock was to win the title, right? Most people complain about Roman not being on TV. It would be the same thing over again. Rock would not be on TV. He'd be gone, be in Hollywood. So, like, come on, like, we want to see a champion be there full time, participating, and, you know, just being like, being a champ of the people, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think The Rock did use sort of his power and the TKO group to insert himself in the Mania main event. My thing is, like, I think he's like 51 years old. Last time he wrestled, I think it was almost 10 years ago.
Hasn't been that long. Oh, well, okay. He had a, it wasn't really a match, I would say, but at Mania, when one of the, the Wyatt family members tried to challenge him and beat him like in 5 seconds.
Right. I mean, if you want to count that, that was just like one round, and that was about it. But so I wonder, is he in ring shape? Can he do a main event for Mania that's going to go at least 20 minutes? Like, what kind of conditioning he's in, you know? He looks good, I guess. Like, his arms are friggin' huge. Like, it's like he's the most jacked he's ever been, but is he going to be able to actually do a main event match at this stage of his career? You know, granted, he's going against his cousin. There's like that familiarity there. So, you know, they probably would be able to put together a good match. But I agree with you. If The Rock wins, it would just be like Roman's reign, like, but on steroids, as far as like a champion that's like never there, never gonna appear, So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I think it's good from a PR standpoint to have The Rock involved. And, you know, Mania is, I think right now it's like 63 days away. So a lot can change between now and then. The internet has pretty much made their stance known. Like, We Want Cody has been trending a lot. Finish the Story has been trending a lot. So, I mean, WWE may, between now and Mania, they may change their mind, you know, but.
Yeah, so one proposal I've seen, I listened to this podcast, The Gigantic Pop. Pretty good podcast. So, dude from the podcast, I think it was a wrestler before too. His name's Matt Morgan. I think he's from TNA. Yeah, he's from the podcast. So, he was proposing that they have night one be Cody, sorry, night one be Rock versus Roman, and night two be Roman versus Cody, and have them finish the story there, because, like, he thinks The Rock is going to be full time. There's no way that they're going to put The Rock over and let him compete with the championship belt, because he's never going to be there on regular television show. So why not just have them fight? You can do both in one weekend. I can see that. I like that. It doesn't make sense to do Rock. It wouldn't make sense to do Rock versus Roman on night two, because, like, I don't think that Roman would lose. But I think that they wouldn't mind passing the torch to Cody, so that should be night two main event.
So how did they get there storyline-wise, like having Roman fight back-to-back nights on Mania? I think that'd be my question.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems so weird, man. Like, what's going on right now in WWE? How is this coming about? Like, come on, like, does anybody really believe? Like, that has not come off believable at all in terms of Cody willingly stepping aside and saying, hey, yeah, I've been trying to finish my story for over a year now, but I'm just gonna step aside and let The Rock have this moment, and I'll get my time somewhere later down the line. That's not believable at all.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes against the character that we've known the American Nightmare to be, like, that he's fighting for his, not only his own legacy, but his family's legacy. So the idea that he would willingly step aside for The Rock, it doesn't really line up. And, you know, I think WWE tried to make it make sense, like when him and Seth's promo on Raw, like Seth really trying to convince Cody that this is like the workhorse championship, you should fight me for this, like, you know.
And Roman just obliterated Seth in that promo SmackDown before Cody came out. So he just, like, diminished that title even more, I think.
Yeah, and it's like that title, that what necessitated the existence of the title was the fact that Roman was barely on the shows and barely on the pay-per-views. So it's like, for him to be taking jabs at Seth, a guy who, while being, like, actively injured, is still defending his belt on a consistent basis. He's still doing house shows. Like, you know, kayfabe or not, that was a huge dig. You know, Seth has been doing his best to, like, build up that belt, give it prestige. At the same time, yeah, like I said, I don't think that Cody winning that particular belt would be a satisfying ending to the story, because it doesn't have that same lineage, you know? Like,
exactly. Not for him, not for the fans. Like, I think most people look at it as like a consolation prize in a sense. It's not like the belt that's sought out for the post, which is the belt that Roman has. Now, this would make sense, Rock versus Roman, if it was last year's Mania. And I think that was the plan originally, but The Rock had a conflicting schedule with Hollywood and everything, because Mania was at 25. It was WrestleMania going to Hollywood. That would have been a perfect setting for this match, I feel like. So they're trying to, like, you know, trying to live up and do that match as they were supposed to do last year. But I think Spencer Cody just sucked. Because I'm starting to look to become really more of a fan of Cody Rhodes. I like him a lot in WWE. I think he's great for the company. He's somebody that you can put the belt on, and he can carry that torch with prestige. So I, as a fan, I want to see him finish the story, because I felt like he should have won it last year. There's no need for Roman to have the title again. I think that WWE is trying to, like, you know, from what I've read before, that they want to essentially have a long title run like they did in the 80s and everything. But this is ridiculous. The landscape of wrestling was so different back then. There's a lot more, way more talent now. It's like, come on, you gotta give somebody else a chance to shine. That's my mentality when it comes to this.
Another thing, too, is, like, you know, since Roman's been champion, there have been so many, like, deserving guys on that roster who, like, will never get a chance to be champion. You know, it's like, you know, when you think about the Attitude Era, where the belt moved around a lot, there were a bunch of guys that were champions, but, like, a lot of those guys ended up being fully established because they were WWF champion, you know? Like, I think Mick Foley was, like, champion for, like, a total of, like, 13 days or something that small. But, like, nobody remembers how long his title reign was. People remember him winning the belt, like, that first time, you know? Like,
On Raw.
And I guess it was in Worcester, Massachusetts or something, you know?
It was. I think it was. They were going up against Nitro, and then... And, you know, they, yeah. Because they were already pre-recorded, and Tony Schiavone was like, yeah, Mick Foley's winning the championship. You don't want to watch that, basically. I'm paraphrasing everything. But yeah, that was a legendary night.
So it's like, so for, I think WWE should kind of go back to that, where you have, the belt is there to legitimize guys, up-and-comer guys. At this point, Roman's not going to beat, he could beat Hulk Hogan's record, but he's not going to beat Bruno Sammartino's record. So
I think Hogan has the record.
So I think Sammartino has total number of days, because he was champion for like 14 years or something like ridiculous like that.
Oh, wow.
And then I think Hogan has the second longest reign that Roman is closing in on. Like,
I think you have to get through September to pass Hogan. I think so.
Who knows, man? I mean, I think that kind of, I don't know what WWE's motivation is for having this long of a reign. If it's history, I think it doesn't really matter at this point in the modern age. Like, and then also, it's not only that Roman has been champion for this long, but like the manner in which he keeps winning. And it's constant interference from like Solo or Jimmy, or there's always some type of BS that leads him to keep the belt. And if they want to make him look like a dominant champion, then make him dominant, like make him like win cleanly once in a while. But like for the Royal Rumble, for the Fatal Four Way, like when Solo came out, like the whole audience was just like, like here we go. You know, the same shit. Like, so his title run has just been so tiring because it's the same stuff over and over again, and he's not really evolving as a character, I don't think,
as much. Yeah, I think the whole Bloodline storyline has been relatively stale over the past year, which is why I thought it was stupid to have him be champion, walk out of Mania and beating Rhodes, because that storyline I felt like was overdoing it in terms of the length. It's still one of the probably the greatest storyline ever in wrestling, but at some point, something just happened to come to an end, and it should have ended last year. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's maybe that this thing with The Rock is like the culmination of it, you know? But I think, yeah, it has run its course. I mean, they ended up making, I think, Jey Uso like a legitimate Solo star, and now he's doing his thing on Raw, and like he's been legitimized by the storyline. But it's right now they're just kind of treading water, doing the same stuff. And a lot of superstars who could have benefited from being champion just haven't gotten that opportunity.
Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see. I've seen a report that WWE is possibly going to consider what to do for the main event for Mania based on the uproar that's been going on within the last 48 hours or so. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go about that. I've never seen anybody that I think that, I don't want to say that they took for granted Stardom with Cody Rhodes. But if anything can let them know just how legitimate the star he is right now, it should be the backlash that they're getting for deciding to take him out of the main event picture after winning the Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, Cody is like well beloved by the fans, and he's been putting in his work for the last couple of years. So, and you know, the situation definitely backfired on WWE because now The Rock is getting booed. Like, I guess there was a house show recently, and there was a video of The Rock, and people were booing him.
Really?
Yeah. So, by putting Rock over at the expense of Cody, it's like they're going to turn Rock heel. You know, the fans like The Rock because he's The Rock. But, you know, for the hardcore fans, like, watching week in and week out, no. Like, Rock can't just, like, come out of nowhere and declare himself to be number one contender, you know? So, I think WWE, they're in a difficult spot right now. And how they're going to pivot is going to be interesting. Okay, so my question for you is, how would you feel if they ended up making the match a triple threat match with Rock, Roman, and Cody?
I don't like that only because, like you said, with the bloodline, you know, Rock coming in trying to like take the throne from Roman and the whole story over it, and it would add another layer to that storyline. So I kind of think that like, Cody being involved in that wouldn't be necessarily a good look. And the fact that why should he be in the triple threat when he actually won the Rumble match for the second year in a row? So I think with those two conflicting elements would have made for a good decision of having a triple threat match. I think I see more night one, night two being realistic than that.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I can see that. I think it seems like they do need to change their current plan. Granted, to your point, like Punk getting injured probably shifted the card a lot, but still, it's like The Rock doesn't need to necessarily be on this card. Like, they're doing it to get more eyeballs, but like I think Cody and Roman will just be the better match if they do that. It'll be a better match building on what they did last year. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if we want Cody like gains traction.
So let's pivot to AEW. Big news coming out this week. Reports that Mercedes Moné, aka Sasha Banks, has already signed with the company, and that she was actually in New Orleans filming for her debut earlier this week. So, congrats to TK. He apparently pulled it off, made a splash signing that I think that he desperately needed for that company because it hasn't been looking so good for AEW, I would think, just from the public perspective with low attendance and everything. I don't think they're putting on quality matches, but something was missing. And also in the women's division, they haven't really built it up the way they should have. But definitely Mercedes Moné being in AEW is a big signing. I think the biggest signing since CM Punk. And I think that she's only going to elevate the AEW women's division and will be the first female, or there'll be a first female match headlining a pay-per-view, and she will be participating in it. That has, because there's no way Tony Khan can mess that up. He has to make that happen. So what do you think about her signing with AEW? You like it or no?
I like it for AEW. I think... Like they needed a top level signing, especially with like a lot of their top people going to WWE lately. I think like Mercedes is someone who they can build the women's division around. Just some of the women that they have in their locker room, I think by having a chance to be in the ring with Mercedes, like that's gonna make them improve. And you know, I think they finally have a woman who could like headline their shows. That's a draw. I think whenever she ends up debuting, like Dynamite, whatever, is going to see like a huge rating spike. If they build around her, it could be successful. But like what you and I talked about before, I don't necessarily know like who Mercedes can face like in her first feud that is gonna be anywhere near her equal. You know, like right now, like Timeless is like being portrayed as like the top woman. But even then, she's just kind of like a cowardly heel. So, and as much as I like her presentation, and it's like it's very different, it's very fresh. Like she's an okay worker, you know.
Yeah, she's not, definitely not on the level of in ring as Mercedes. No way.
No, and it's like, does AEW, as it stands right now, have someone that's on the same level as Mercedes? Like, probably not. So if they wrestle at like Revolution and it's a squash match, like Mercedes wins in 3 minutes, that's awesome. But it's like, who's going to be her counterpart? You know, that's my.
I thought Saraya only because of the history. I've seen on that podcast again that I get the cop. It was saying Britt Baker is probably is the best wrestler in the women's division, and that would be an ideal person for Mercedes to work with. But yeah, you're right. But at the same time, I think that she can elevate whoever she's working with. She can elevate them because of her status in outside the ring. So she can put them over. That's a good way to help build up that division. But they do have more talent on a women's roster than I give credit for. But when I really thought about it, I mean, you got Shreya, Britt Baker, Timeless. You got Statlander. The new wrestler's not bad as well. Deonna Purrazzo.
Deonna Purrazzo is really good. Yeah,
really, really good. So I seen that. I watched the match last week, and I was like, okay, that's a good. I didn't know she was on WWE for a little bit, but then they released her.
Yeah, no.
NXT, right?
She was on NXT, yeah, and I think she was an Impact or TNA for a while as their champion. Who else? Julia Hart is pretty good. She's getting better in the ring.
I've been Sky Blue's progressing too.
Sky Blue's pretty good too. Yeah. I mean, they have a decent division, but I do think Mercedes is sort of a missing piece. And I think it makes sense for her to go to AEW because right now I feel like WWE is like way too stacked in the women's division.
And well, they're way too stacked overall, but in the women's division, they are definitely way too stacked. Which can cause for, I mean, with her, it wouldn't be a problem because she's who she is. She's a star. So I think that it's more beneficial for her to be in AEW. Well, at least for AEW side. They really had to do their job and get her signed. And I know the report was that she wanted her asking price was more than what they paid Charlotte Flair. Once I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, she's AEW bound. Because there's no way WWE is going to give it more than Charlotte Flair. She's just not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, like, TK, Tony has, like, unlimited pockets. So that's not going to be an issue.
Do you hear that AEW's report in Forbes that they're valid at $2 billion?
See, I heard that, but I don't necessarily believe that. And even if it's true that they're valued at $2 billion, like, I don't think there's any company that would actually purchase AEW for $2 billion. I mean, like, I think, you know, they've been around for, like, 4 years. If they were to, like, sell, like, their video library, I think that would be super valuable. But we'll see because, you know, the ratings for Dynamite, they have been, like, hovering around, like, 800. You know, like, they had a bit of a spike a couple of weeks ago with the Hook Samoa Joe match, you know. But overall, it's the same, like, 800,000 or so who are watching the show. And I think if the ratings keep going down the way they are, once it's time to renew with Warner Brothers, like, it's going to be a tough sell. It really is going to be a tough sell to be like, hey, like, keep us on for X amount of years when, you know, they were hitting like a million plus when Punk was there. And now it's like they barely sniff 900,000. So,
yeah, I don't know what they can do to improve the rating or even the attendance at their event, at their shows. I think Mercedes will help. I can't say that she can be the sole piece that's going to put them at the 1 million mark or even like increase the attendance at the venues, but it's a good start. I think they probably got to do a better job of telling more compelling stories, building up their superstars or people that they're bringing in. Because like, I think that they take the casual fan for granted. They assume that everybody knows where everybody is. I'm like, I don't know who people are. Great workers, though. I just don't know where they are. So a casual fan is going to be like, why should I be watching this? I have no idea who this is. They got to take them into consideration more when trying to improve their product.
Yeah, because, like, you know, pro wrestling is more than just the matches themselves. It's the storyline. It's the motivation that the wrestlers have to be like competing in the first place. And, you know, I as like a hardcore fan, I do appreciate when AEW, like, they'll do like really fresh matchups, you know, every week and stuff. But then at the same time, a lot of the matches are heatless. So it's like, you know, they're good matches, but at the end of the day, like, none of it really sticks because it's not part of like a cohesive story. Yeah, so like AEW does not do many storylines for their shows, but even when they do long-term storytelling, it ends up fizzling out. Like, for example, with the Devil storyline, you know, MJF and Adam Cole were good friends. That act of them being together was getting over. And then it was revealed that Adam Cole was the Devil. Now he has his group of, like, basically Ring of Honor jobber guys and Wardlow, and Adam Cole's injured. So he's leading this group in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, obviously that's like not imposing. It's not like the way you want your top heel to be presented on TV. So it's like AEW has a huge problem with storytelling. And there is the sizable portion of the wrestling audience that just wants to see good matches. But, you know, like we said, it's like those 800,000 people that are consistently going to be tuning in every week. AEW is going to have a hard time reaching the casual fan and expanding beyond its current audience, unless they do some real serious changes. I also feel like it doesn't help to have like Collision and Rampage like still be a thing.
I think this is doing with Rampage and move Collision to another night. I don't know what night it would be, but Saturdays ain't it, man. You're going up against, it doesn't matter, you can go against college sports, football, basketball. You're going up against the UFC. You're going up against the WWE at least once a month. You know what I'm saying? That's like there's always something going on no matter what time of the year it is. That's always going to be a conflict of having a show on a Saturday. So right. I like the idea of having that show. I don't think it should be on Saturday, though. I don't know what other day to put it on. Thursday? But that's, I mean, too close to Dynamite, though.
That might be too close to Dynamite. I mean, with Dynamite right in the middle of Wednesday. I mean, I suppose Sunday nights would make the most sense, but that would run up against the NFL most of the time. I mean, I think they should condense Rampage and Collision into one show.
I agree.
Have split rosters, you know, just to make it kind of fresh. Because right now it's like, I think Collision, it's like its own separate taping. I mean, along with Ring of Honor. So that is not really an attractive touring show. you know, like even if someone has a moderate interest in wrestling, it's asking a lot to like go to a Collision taping followed by like 2 hour taping of Ring of Honor, which is not even on TV. You know, it's on their like Honor Club streaming service. So it's AEW, they're struggling with creating an incentive to watch the product and then also to attend the live shows.
Yeah, it was just crazy, man. Like, after when Punk first arrived there, certainly that's been peak AEW so far. When Punk arrived, I was like, damn, they got a lot of momentum right now. This is crazy for a startup company. It's a monumental. And then within the last year, it's just been a decline in the company. We thought Edge or Adam Copeland could help be a difference, but he hasn't really moved the needle at all since being there. Still a good in-ring performer, certainly at this point of his career. But he doesn't move the needle. So hopefully Mercedes will do that, because, you know, I'm all for a healthy competition. I like to see two promotions striving to be great and thriving at the same time. So I want to see AEW succeed solely because I love wrestling. And I think that when there's competition, it's going to make both products great.
Right.
Because I don't think WWE will be this hot if AEW didn't exist. That's my personal opinion.
I mean, I think it's kind of forced WWE's hand to be more creative, to elevate top stars more. I mean, I agree. I think that WWE is like on fire right now, in contrast to AEW. And it wasn't like this the last couple of years or so. Like, they're really starting to hit their stride. And yeah, competition, just like the Monday Night Wars, like competition makes both brands better. So,
and the consumers, us, we win. Okay, so that's all I'm here for. Last thing before we get out of here, wanted to touch base on Vince McMahon and the recent allegations of sexual misconduct. I last seen that he's being looked at by the feds. That's crazy. A lot of things have been happening. A lot of backlash is going on and from the public. Of course, when something like this comes up, that's egregious and, you know, just hard to fathom. There's going to be a lot of backlash. Your thoughts on this, what transpired, because it happened, happened before the Rumble, so last week. What do you think this does to WWE image, and how do they get past this going forward, if they even can?
I mean, it would be naive to say that WWE's image is not being affected by the Vince McMahon allegations. I think for the fans who've like kind of known for a while about Vince, and like that he hasn't been an integral part of the product in the last couple of years or so, you know, but to the mainstream audience, like, Vince McMahon is very synonymous with the WWF/WWE. So from like an outside looking in standpoint, it's very damaging. I think WWE should have been, and in a broader sense, like the TKO group should have been creating distance between Vince and themselves for a long time. But even this past week, when The Rock was named as like one of the board of directors on the board of directors for TKO, Vince was right there in the New York Stock Exchange, wherever they call it. Like, so, and I would have to imagine that the WWE would have known that that Wall Street Journal article was coming down the pike, and they've known about the lawsuit. So the fact that Vince was still prominently in the fold, I think, is like inexcusable. Did you watch the Royal Rumble press conference with Triple H, like his comments?
Well, I seen the clip, but he really decided to, like, you know,
not address the issue and just wanted to focus on the positivity of going on with WWE and Royal Rumble. So I see him deflect and seen a lot of backlash, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I thought for someone who knew that these questions are going to come, like, his responses were very tone deaf and very, like, insensitive to the situation. Like, yes, you know, he could rattle off the list of WWE's successes this past week, like the Netflix deal, and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's like the most important figure, the most consequential figure in professional wrestling has been accused of doing some really heinous stuff through the WWE, you know? So I think, and I get it, ultimately it's his father-in-law that's being accused. It's like, it's essentially his family member. But maybe Triple H isn't the guy to be out in the press conference fielding questions when he can't really give a straight answer to, you know, how much were other people in WWE aware allegations on Vince? You know, what is the safety protocols in WWE? Like, how are these issues being addressed? Like, you know, this story came out almost 2 years ago with Vince having a lawsuit against him. And the feds, they took his phone, right? So it's like now we as a public, we're getting the details, but the story has been around for a while. And just very disappointed by Triple H. Very disappointed, because like it seemed like as a leadership, he is someone who is well spoken, is very media savvy, is very PR savvy. I can't help but feel that there was more of an air of defensiveness to that question from his part, because it's his father-in-law, rather than him speaking as like the CEO, COO of WWE. So it was very disappointing. I view WWE very similar to the NFL in the sense that like it's such a big corporation that involves so many people, so many moving parts, that like one person, one entity doesn't reflect the whole thing. It'd be like, you know, like when the Aaron Hernandez shit happened a couple years ago, it would be like somebody making a sweeping indictment against the entire National Football League because of like what its players did. And granted, Vince is the figurehead of WWE, but like I said, he has been phased out the last couple years, and there's a correlation with the product getting hotter, with ratings going up, with more like live event engagement, because people wanted Vince McMahon gone for a really long time. And it's like, if you watch, and you know, you and I have been watching WWE since we were like little kids, like sixth grade, like talking about like WWE. So it's like that Mr. McMahon character was Vince in a more like, I suppose, like exaggerated form, but he wasn't necessarily pulling from like this fictional place in himself. Like Vince McMahon is that kind of like sexist, misogynistic, terrible guy that he played on TV all these years. So like,
yeah, based on the reports and everything that was detailed, it's kind of hard to dispute that. Obviously, anybody can dispute that based on what we've seen, what he portrayed when we was kids. Reading his reports now, I was like, was he really acting, or was that just him? Hard to dispute that. You're right.
Does it affect your fandom in any way, or like, or how does it influence your fandom?
I don't think it wouldn't necessarily affect my fandom, because like you said, like just because Vince is like that doesn't mean that everybody else, you can label everybody else associated in WWE or no, like to be stained by Vince. I don't know what they've done. I wouldn't accuse anybody of anything without valid proof, or if any other woman come forward and there's valid proof, I can't really like accuse them. So I'm not going to say that. I don't know. And again, I think we're in a new stage now. Cause like that attitude era days compared to now is so drastically different. We're not seeing the same things portrayed on television that we did back then now, for good reasons, I would say too. So I don't know, is the environment in WWE right now the same as it was back then? I think not. I think people are more aware now and more conscious of like knowing like what's actually like morally right as opposed to what's morally wrong. So it doesn't say affect my fandom. It does make me look at things a little different now, like Vince, in the sense of how he was when we was kids and everything that he was doing, how he was an authoritative figure and kind of abusing his power. And all those like this wild scenes that was portraying out like bikini contents, all these raunchy scenes, like, wow, like this is really, that was really him in real life, apparently. That's wild. So yeah, it's tough, but I try to like, you know, not paint everybody with a broad brush and just think that that's just Vince and nobody else right now in WWE is represents that.
Yeah. Yeah. And Vince is a grown man. He's 70 something years old. Like he makes his own decisions. And it's not the entire company. It's a company full of like what, hundreds of employees. From the bottom up, like it's not a complete reflection. I think for the most part, people get that, and even just like the Cody thing getting as much traction as it has right now, it has sort of eclipsed the Vince McMahon story because, you know, WWE fans care about WWE and not Vince, and it hasn't been that case for like a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but like again, like I mean, WWE did move accordingly. We know Vince got resigned like within like I would say within 24 hours, right, of the news coming out. But at the same time, you had to believe that there was pressure on him to relinquish that to be removed. So I think they moved swiftly. We've seen brands like Slim Jim quickly back out, but then decided to be sponsored the Royal Rumble once WWE, well, once Vince wasn't associated with them anymore. So I mean, there's a lot of things that they're not being tone deaf right now with this, as opposed to the thing that they were tone deaf with earlier. So now that they are like showing that this is like a serious matter, they're not acting as if it isn't. I think that goes a long way too with the public perception of WWE going forward.
Right, no, I agree.
Yeah, it just sucks. I think that's it for now. So, I think we're good. What do you think is going to happen on? What do you think is going to happen going forward? With this, before I get out here, what do you think is going to happen going forward with WWE in terms of the main event of WrestleMania, seeing all the backlash that's been coming out?
I mean, I could see them reverting back to Cody and Roman, depending on the level of backlash, you know. It just reminds me of like 2014, when Batista had won the Royal Rumble and he was going to challenge Randy Orton for the championship. That year was like Daniel Bryan was like white hot, you know, as a baby. The fans wanted him to be in the Mania main event, and that ended up being incorporated in the storyline. And you know, that one of the best endings to Mania of all time was that WrestleMania 30. So I think and this that was like before social media like really took off the way that it is now. So I think like there is gonna be enough of a groundswell to maybe change it, but I think it ultimately depends on what Dwayne Johnson wants to do. If he wants to step aside based on the fan reaction, he certainly can do that. If it really means that much to him that he's in the main event competing for the title. I think he's going to do what he wants to do, especially with the amount of power that he has right now.
Yeah. So a quick question. When Daniel Bryan won at WrestleMania 30, he didn't win the Rumble that year?
No, he wasn't even in the Rumble that year.
Okay, but Batista won the Rumble.
Yeah.
So, okay, I wasn't watching wrestling, like, I wasn't deep into wrestling, but I didn't start watching wrestling again until, like, after that Mania. So, what happened with Batista? I'm confused. If he won at the Rumble, did he fight at Mania too?
Yeah, so they ended up making it a triple threat match between him, Randy Orton, and Daniel Bryan. And then they ended up turning Batista heel. It's very similar to The Rock, where it's like, once the fans realized that Daniel Bryan was not going to get his shot, they turned on Batista. Mm-hmm. When they basically forced Batista to turn heel. So, yeah, I mean, the fans do have a say. I think what's going to be helpful for WWE is that The Rock's not going to be making that many appearances, I don't believe, between now and Mania. He's not going to be in Elimination Chamber, so the less that he's out there in front of a live crowd, there's a less of a chance that there's going to be like an audible backlash against him.
It's not going to be an awkward moment.
Yeah.
And at a show, because there's not going to be there
right.
A lot. Like, how many times can it be at SmackDown? Right now, we are in February, April 5th, April 6th, or whatever, is Mania. So between then, I would say probably three appearances. I think three.
And that includes probably, like, the SmackDown before Mania or something, you know?
Which is crazy, because it's right in Philly.
Yeah. Yeah. So his appearances are going to be rare. Maybe WWE is hoping this thing dies down, you know, that people get used to it. But like we mentioned earlier, like, Cody is very beloved, and the fans want to see him succeed. His father was very beloved but amongst, like, many generations. And I think, all right, so it's almost like there are these two huge stories that are converging, you know, because I do think, like, the Bloodline story of the history of the NOI family from generation to generation, of between Roman and Rock, like, who is truly the tribal chief, who is truly, like, the man who leads this family, right? So there's that history. And then at the same time, like, Cody has his own history of trying to capture the title that eluded his father throughout his father's entire career, that was taken away from his father many times. So it's like, to finish that story, to do it for Dusty, even Cody's brother, Dustin, who world title eluded him his whole career as well. It's like, yeah, that story needs to be finished at Mania. So it's very complicated. WWE really painted themselves in a corner this time.
Yeah, I want to see what they're going to do to try to, like, you know, escape from that corner, and how they're going to approach this as the weeks progress up until Mania. All right, man, we're good. Thank you very much for coming on this pod. Hope that I can get you on a couple more times for Mania to talk some wrestling. But I'm sure we'll be in contact between that and then. All right, man. Thanks a lot.
No problem. We're on the road. Yeah, we're on the road.
Sir.
All right, man.
All right, take care.
You too.
And that is it for this episode. Salute to the homie Verley. Thank you guys for listening. And if you're new to this episode, rather this pod, hopefully you like this episode and you'll stick around for the journey. And I want to definitely thank those who've been supporting me for day one. I do truly appreciate it. I know I've been slacking with keeping up with putting out episodes, but you're still rocking out on me regardless. So I truly, truly appreciate that. And be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, as this podcast is available just about everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts at. And also, don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel, Mr. Vincent. That is where you can see the visuals for this podcast. Again, that YouTube channel is Mr. Vincent. And if you like, you can also keep up with me as well on social media, Instagram and X, at Mr. Vincent 13. Again, that is at Mr. Vincent 13. And I also do have a Instagram page for the podcast, at the Mr. Vincent Pod. Again, that is at the Mr. Vincent Pod, where you can be updated on this episode, on rather episodes, and also what is going on in the world of sports, wrestling, and other stuff as well. So that's it for now. I do plan on putting out an episode previewing the Super Bowl. Should be a good one. So be on the lookout for that, either Thursday or Friday. But until then, you guys stay safe, stay blessed, take care. Thank you.